and welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate the City Gospel Movement work that is happening all around the world. Today, we are so fortunate to have Mylon Homola in the studio with us and Anna Johnson from Compassion Connect. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Well, today I wanted to just get a little bit more information for everyone about Compassion Connect and the organization that you have co-founded about 10 years ago, correct, Mylon?
Yep.
And so could you just start us off with what is Compassion Connect? Maybe it's specifically just how did you get started doing something like this?
Yeah, it's a great story that I think has two pieces to it. One was that when I came to faith, I was in college and a pastor had asked this question and I had this moment where he said, you know, if you could do anything right now, no concern for money, nothing, like what would you do? And I had this weird moment that I blurted something out that I didn't really know what it meant, but I said, I want to help churches work together to serve their neighbors. And I thought I just said something incredibly brilliant, and everyone in the room looked at me like I was this weird oddball, you know, new believer. Yeah, he's the weird guy. And so that just kind of came out of my soul deep down. And it was about 5 years later, I didn't create a strategic plan or walk out that idea. I just faithfully followed Jesus where he was leading. He brought my wife and I to Portland, and shortly after that, we did this free medical dental clinic, brought together churches, and loved on about 300 people over the course of this weekend. And that's when kind of the light bulb went off that God said, look, now you're doing it. And you didn't have to force it. You didn't have to go create this business plan to do it. You just now help churches work together to serve their neighbors. And that ignited me. It showed me that this is a calling. I have the gifting and the skills to collaborate, to bring people together, to do great things in their community for God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like that moment was really an identity awakening of something that really brought life to you. Can you kind of talk about that? Like, what was it that just said, I am in the sweet spot for my own self right here?
I think it was that in doing that work, I had to be humbled. I think it was in actually being humbled that then I was further ignited for the work. Right after that first outreach of free medical dental clinic in this really low-income, struggling neighborhood, I was 24 years old. I was had a large head and was patting myself on the back. And that's when God clearly spoke to me and said, you know what? I love those people that you served just as much as I love you, Mylon. You didn't do one thing to earn more of my love. You just faithfully walked out your work. And I need those people that you serve to know just how much I love them. And so in being humbled, I was ignited to know that it wasn't going to be my strength. It was going to be his work. And that I had a calling to help churches communicate that love in their own neighborhood.
That's a great message, Mylon. Can you tell us, I'm sure everybody would like to know, just what is Compassion Connect doing now? What have you been doing for the last 10 years to get you to this point? Can you kind of share a little bit about the organization and the specifics?
Yeah, Compassion Connect came about when we realized, boy, there's something powerful about a group of local churches in a neighborhood linking arms and being the church to their neighbors, and that we needed a neutral nonprofit who could provide that coaching, provide the tools so that a community could do a free medical dental clinic. And they didn't have to reinvent the wheel. They didn't have to go buy all the equipment. Compassion Connect is this organization that helps communities of churches be the church in their own backyard. And so a compassion clinic is a, you know, weekend outreach of loving your neighbors, meeting their physical needs while also connecting with them and their spiritual needs. So it's all about building relationships in the community. Our job is to equip the churches to be able to do that work without reinventing the wheel.
And I know that you have another piece of your organization called Adorned in Grace. Mm-hmm. Can maybe, Anna, could you talk a little bit about Adorned in Grace and how that has evolved over the years?
Sure. So just as the Compassion Clinics are a method for churches to unite and passionate people of faith who are sitting in the pews to get out there and put their faith in action. Adorned in Grace is also one of those ways that they can do that, which focuses on preventing human trafficking or on the issue of human trafficking. And so there's kind of three main areas where people can get involved in Adorned in Grace. And one of those ways is prevention, because that's such and kind of an overlooked area of human trafficking is, what if we got to these young women before they ever became victims? And so we bring people of faith together to become mentors for these young women and just love on them and provide them with care and love and also creative business skills and teaching them entrepreneurship and just helping them create bright futures that they may not have had. And then another area is just awareness is so important. And so we have actually bridal shops that all of the donated gowns are sold and help provide funds to fuel these prevention efforts and spread awareness and whatnot. And then we also have done some work with survivors also. So there's many ways that people of faith can get involved in this issue.
That is so cool. And Anna, can you talk specifically about the after-school program? Are you working with schools to be able to connect to those kids who might want to come to something like this? And then what are the things that they get to explore and learn in these programs?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we definitely have been in contact with local schools. That's one method where we kind of find these girls. But one of the benefits of at least our first location was that we're in a very low-income neighborhood, and there's a lot of apartment complexes just surrounding that location where these girls are coming from at-risk backgrounds, whether they're refugee families or immigrants or low income or all these different kinds of things. And so we're just right there where the need is. And so that's been huge.
And then the second question is, what are the things that they are getting to do at these programs after school?
Yeah, so we have kind of some different approaches to this. So kind of the base of the model is that they will be paired with a mentor and they will get to do anything from learning how to sew with a seamstress, or we bring in some guest teachers who can do yoga with them, or we have some Bible studies and just any kind of, I think that what's so great about it is that there's all these people sitting in the pews who have awesome talents. And you can say, oh, well, you're great at calligraphy. Why don't you come teach the girls how to do calligraphy? Or, you know, all of these different things that utilize the gifts of the people of faith. And one special facet of the design studio that we kind of recently have started is an entrepreneurship program where girls actually get to learn how to make really beautiful gold and silver jewelry. And then they actually get to sell that jewelry in our bridal shops, and then they get an educational stipend. And so they're actually receiving an income, learning a skill, and a bunch of other business skills that go along with it. And so just helping them get a leg up in that way and empowering them in that way. So there's a lot of different things that we get to do with them. Last year, they went on a beach trip, and most of the girls had never either been to the beach before and they got to spend the night, and none of them had spent the night at the beach before. So just all of these fun activities that they may not have been able to experience.
That is so great. So can you guys tell me a little bit about how could communities utilize what you guys are doing? How could they get started in doing something like that? What do you guys bring to the table for them to be able to do a compassion clinic in their community or Adorned in Grace offering?
So we provide the toolkit. So we've figured out, here's what works, here's how to start, here's the manual, here's training videos. And we then go to a community that wants to do this kind of work in their own neighborhood, and we provide the toolkit and we do some coaching. So we're equipped to help build that collaboration of local churches, cast the vision. And then really, we pride ourselves on the fact that it's locally owned. It's these local leaders who say, yeah, we want to do this in our own backyard. We just need a little bit of help getting off the ground so that we can do it and learn best practices without starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm. And for Adorned in Grace, if I wanted to set something up in my community like that, would it be the similar, like a toolkit? And what would the resources be that I would be receiving?
We're actually in toolkit production for Adorned in Grace, so that is the vision. It's a bit of a younger model than the Compassion Clinics, but that is the dream, that we would be able to offer those same resources. We have just launched our second design studio, which is the after-school mentorship program for the at-risk youth. And so we're seeing it start to grow, and just we believe that it could be in thousands of communities. And so, yes, that is the goal, to be able to provide the same kind of resources as the clinic model.
So I would love to hear kind of what your visions and hopes and dreams for the future of Compassion Connect and Adorned in Grace, and just kind of what do you see God doing in the future in these two areas?
Yeah, we see communities where division and apathy are on the increase. You know, you only have to look at the newspaper to see that we've got real issues of us versus them. And we believe that the people of faith in the church have the compelling, invitational way of living, of engaging in the community. And so we envision these communities where people choose unity over division and compassion over complacency. And that's a flourishing neighborhood. And we believe that the church can lead the way, should lead the way, can lead the way in that journey towards flourishing. And it's neighborhood by neighborhood. And it's loving your neighbor. It's getting out and addressing the needs of the whole person, not just physical needs, not just spiritual needs, but the whole person. And it's seeing, you know, the church has the greatest untapped resource. Thousands of people who are coming in and out of these buildings every week, and how do you equip, ignite, and inspire that community to go out and mm-hmm. bring flourishing to their neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. So specifically, Mylan, what are some things that you hope to see happen in the next 5 years of Compassion Connect?
Yeah, we envision equipping different regions with these same toolkits. So we know that the Compassion Clinics can work anywhere in the world. We've done it across the globe. We see these communities that will use the clinic to then spark greater efforts of unity and compassion in their own neighborhood, to transform the culture of church in the neighborhood. The Adorned in Grace model, it's the same thing. Design studios can be launched anywhere in the world. And so we envision these communities that have just enough resources so that they can then carry out that story of unity and compassion in their own backyard.
That's awesome. One of the questions that I love to ask, because I personally believe that we need to celebrate the failures just as much mm-hmm. as the successes, because oftentimes it's that failure that got us to the next success. So could you share with us just one of those things that, wow, I thought this was going to fly and it just didn't?
I can think of one thing. There's lots of failures, I know for certain. One that really applies to this conversation is we had a model early on of getting churches to unite together around an apartment complex and adopt that apartment complex. We poured tons of energy and resourcing into that, and it just fell on its face. And I still hold on to the idea that that's a great model for a community, that all of these issues we want to address, name it, you know, single parent homes, drugs, prostitution, you know, poverty, it all centers in low-income housing. So if the church were to go there instead of expecting the people to come to us, there would be just great fruit. But as a model, we weren't able to get more churches to buy in. It was a really difficult ministry. It was expensive ministry. And it was a tough pill to swallow when we just had to say, pull the plug on that. It's not working. And that just felt like failure.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing. I know sometimes it's good to commiserate often, because I know most of our listeners have had great success and have shared stories just like that too. So with that feeling of failure or hopelessness, how do you keep going? And you guys can both answer this too, but how do you keep pushing on and pressing in and believing that the church can come around these issues?
For me, it's the people. I was just talking to the team yesterday saying how you'd probably be surprised. There's more days than not that you just want to quit and give up. And the things that God uses to encourage me are the people, the stories. You know, you'll just get this. I got this random email that just had the most encouraging things to say from someone I didn't know, but they had taken some of what they had learned from us and gone and done it on their own. And they were just thanking us for being so faithful to lead in our community. And those little bits of encouragement, I quickly see that that's God's handiwork. That's God speaking his love through his people. And so what keeps me going are the people that I see inspired in their faith, taking steps. And that reminds me that this is God's orchestration, not mine. And when I get frustrated about leading an organization or the next budget meeting, that really it comes down to God's kingdom and his people. And I just need to participate and get on board with that.
Yeah, that's great. Anna, how about you? What keeps you going in this work?
I think I would just echo a lot of Mylan's comments. And I think also that this mission has been really empowering for me personally, and just to think of someone in another city who maybe just is feeling like they don't have anything to offer. They don't know how to put their faith in action to make a difference, but to think that someday that person could be thriving in their faith and actually, you know, getting out there and serving and loving people in their own community, that to me, I just get really excited about those other people out there who could encounter this and thrive from it. So
that's awesome. Thank you, guys. Well, it has been a total pleasure to hear about what's happening at Compassion Connect. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us here on the City Gospel Movement's podcast. If you want to hear more and see more about what they are doing at Compassion Connect, you can go to www.compassionconnect.com. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we appreciate it.